Morning, everyone. Today's the end of Menachos. It's Kuf Yud. We're in Kuf Tes, so let's quickly make our way up to where we should be. And this morning, I'd like to get to the Mishnah in Kuf Yud, which would just about conclude the Masecht. Tomorrow we begin Chulin. First day of Chulin is coming up tomorrow. We learned the Mishnah yesterday. We're in Kuf Tes Amud Aleph, and we learned the Mishnah yesterday, and the Mishnah discusses Beit Chonya, right? There was a temple out in Egypt, in the city of Alexandria, and its name was Beit Chonya. We will learn this morning how it came to being. Okay, but in the meantime, the Gemara now tells us that if you come along and you say that I'm going to bring a carbon to Beit Chonya, so the Mishnah just says that so you shouldn't bring it out in Beit Chonya, but you should bring it rather to the Beit HaMikdash. Okay. And then the Mishnah talks about I'm going to be a Nazir and I'm going to conclude my Naziris in Beis Chonya. And the Mishnah says again, same basic idea. So if he was Megalech with Beis Chonya, if he shaved his body, meaning he terminated his Naziris in Beis Chonya, so he have now fulfilled his obligation. But the Mishnah says, on the other hand, also something which is extraordinarily complicated to understand, difficult to understand. And the Mishnah says that if his initial intent was, I want to be a Nazir so that I could shave in Beis Chonya, so the Gemara says so, he's Yotzei. He has fulfilled his obligation, and that, of course, makes no sense. That's not the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara immediately jumps on this, and we start with the Gemara right now. Yotzei HaMikato Katle, the Gemara says, I don't understand. You're talking about offering a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash. That's Chayir Chayiv Kares. That's Shchut Echutz. The Gemara says, I don't even understand what the Mishnah is talking about. So Amar Rav Hamanuna Nasi Koma Hare Alai Ola Amanash Lo Yitzchaya Ba'achri Yasa. So the Gemara says, well, no. What he meant was, I'm going to bring an Ola that I'm not going to be responsible for. That's the intent of his statement. Amalei Rav Alamiata Sefer Diktani Hare Nazir Shagalech Beveis Chonya Galech Bemikdash Vimgilech Beveis Chonya Yatsa Hachinami Denasi Kama Hare Nazir Amanash Shalom Yitzchaya Ba'achriyas Karbonasav. So the Gemara says it's a difficult shot because it's not going to work in the case of Nazir. What does that mean, Nazir? I'm not going to be responsible for the carbon? That doesn't make any sense. If you're a Nazir, you're a Nazir. And of course you have to conclude your carbonas. So the Gemara explains like this. Nazir kama de lo maisi karbonosav lo miskashe. I'm sorry, that's the conclusion of the question. If a Nazir doesn't conclude his karbonos, it doesn't work. Elama amarava adam ze ladar niskave. So the Gemara says, look, this person wants to do something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Doron means a gift. Meaning he wants to throw a bone to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar yisagi beveis chonya tachina. Look, if it's enough, meaning apparently this person did not live in Israel. Apparently the person lived in Egypt. And he said, look, if it's enough where I can just simply finish up my Naziris and Beis Chonya, so then good. Tfei lo matzina leads to rei. So the Gemara says, I just don't want to go beyond that point in time. So Nazir Nami, Hai Gavra Lutzur Nafshi Kamechavin. And the person who says, I'm going to be a Nazir and I'm going to conclude in Beis Chonya, it's not real Nazirus. It's like, you know what? Right, I want to do something special for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I'm not going to be a real Nazir because a real Nazir is going to require me to bring Karbonos and go to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm not going to do that. I'll be a fake Nazir. Right? Right, Suno Nazir. I'm going to do something that's going to resemble Nazirus. Meaning, I won't get a haircut and I won't drink wine and I'll do all the things that look like Nazirus, but it's not going to be a real Nazir. It's just an extra religious commitment. So Amar Yisagi beBeis Chonya Tachina Tfei Lo Matzina Leitz Deruei. Look, I can go so far as Beis Chonya, but I'm not going to go all the way up to Yerushalayim. That's too much for me.
Why is it not considered Nazir?
It is a neder, but it's a neder that's not real Nazirus. Okay, it's something else. I don't know what else to call it, but it's not real Nazirus. Rav Hamanuna Amar Lecha Nazir Kedekamart Ola. So look, the Rav Hamanuna says, look, your pshat about Nazir is absolutely correct. Meaning, it really is the only viable pshat in the Mishnah. The Mishnah describes this person saying, I'm going to be a Nazir and I'm going to finish up in Beis Chonya. And the Mishnah says, Yaseh has fulfilled his obligation. What does that mean? So now we're gonna stay with this pshat. It's not real Naziros. It's pseudo Naziros. He just wants to. It's just in his interest to make some sort of extra religious commitment. But it's not real Naziros. Good. Stay with that pshat. It's really the only pshat in the Mishnah. However, as far as the first psak of the Mishnah, Ola Manashalo Yitzchaya Ba'achriyosu Kamar. But as far as the first Pesach in the Mishnah, I'm going to go back to what we originally suggested. When he says, I'm going to bring an Ola, and I want to bring in a Beis Chonya, all he means is, I don't want to have Achrayas, I don't want to have personal responsibility for the carbon. Rav Yochanan Savalallahad Rav Hamnunad Amarabba Barbachanam Rav Yochanan Harealai Ola Shakri Venab Beis Chonyo Vihi Kriva Barat Yisrael Yotza. If I have a carbon which I declare I'm going to offer to Beis Chonyo, and then you offer it in Eretz Yisrael, you fulfilled your obligation. Vanush Karis. So Tanya Namihacha Harealai Ola Shakri Venab Midbar Vihi Kriva Beivar Yarden Yotza Vanush Karis. Okay? That's the pshat that Gemara is going to stick with. The first pesach in the Mishnah is talking about the simple idea that he does not want to, he does not want to have achrayos. Okay, in the Mishnah, Hakohanim sheshimtu shim beis chonyo lo yisham she bemikdash she b'shalayim. Beis chonyo, as we're about to learn, okay, it's going to be, it's an unbelievable story. It's one of the highlights of the Masechta. So beis chonyo is a place where they do temple service. Okay, I told you it's out in Egypt, it's in Alexandria. Okay, and its roots, how the genesis of the place, we'll get to in just a moment. But it's a controversial place, meaning we're going to have two opinions in the Gemara, whether it was really Shem Shamayim or it was a base of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara is going to present two opinions. So, look, it's funny we don't know, but the fact of the matter is, it's controversial. Right? It's a place where, certainly even if it's L'Shem Shamayim, it's not where you should be during the Second Temple, meaning you should be in the Temple, you should be in Yerushalayim. So it's a very controversial place. If you're a Kohen and you served in Beis Chonyo, okay? So, right, it's...
pretty bad, right?
It's pretty bad, right? That's a great way to describe it. Certainly I can think of worse, meaning, right, as a simple example, you're Oved Avodah Zarah. Okay, that's worse, right? That's worse than Beis Chonyo. So the Mishnah says a Kohanim Shishim Shabe Beis Chonyo Yolo Yisham Shabe Mikdash Yerushalayim. So if you served in Beis Chonyo, so that's it. You checked out. Okay, right. I use the expression often. You're off the reservation. All right, you checked out. And since you checked out, that's it. You don't get allowance to serve in the Beis Hamikdash, in the real temple. The Ein Zarach Lama L'Davar Acher. Now, if you're over to Avodah Zarah, like the Mishnah says, I don't even have to tell you what the conclusion is over there. That's obvious. Right? Ain't Sarach Loma. I don't have to tell you. That's the Mishnah's way of telling us. Yeah, let me tell you. Ain't Sarach Loma, Davar Acher. Shenama Achlo Yalu, Kohanea Bamos, Al Mizbech, Hashem Yerushalayim, Ki Imachlu, Matzos Achem, Hare Elu, Kabale Momem, Choke Vaochlem, Velo Makriven. The Mishnah says they're like Bale Momem. They're like blemished Kohanim. Right? They're like Kohanim that have physical blemish. Kohanim that have a physical blemish may not perform any avoda. They can eat karbanos, but they may not perform any avoda. These Kohanim who served in Beis Chonyo are legally as if they had a physical blemish on them, and they cannot do the avoda. They can eat the karbanos, but they cannot do the avoda. Okay. Amar of Yehuda, Kohen Sheshachal Avodos Kochavim, Karbono Reach Nicholach. Rav Yehuda says like this. Let's say you have a Kohen who shechs for Avodah Zarah. Okay? Shechs for Avodah Zarah. So Karbono Reach Nicholach. Now Rashi points out, we'll make the obvious point, he did tshuva, meaning he shechs for Avodah Zarah, he did tshuva, right? Regrets exactly what he did, right? Makes a vidui, makes a confession, regrets, and is totally chozer b'tshuva. So karban areich nichoach. So if this Kohen comes back and does the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash, so areich nichoach means it's good. So Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Avim in my kraw. So let's go through a pasuk. We'll be spending some time on this pasuk in Yecheskel. Yana Sher Yishartu Asam Lefnei Gilu Lehem Vayu LeBeis Yisrael LeMichshol Avon Al Kein Asasi Yadi Alehem Nu Hashem. These people who, right, he's describing Kohanim that are offering in front of their Gilu Lehem. That's a term for idolatry. And they serve, right, they are Lemichshol Avon Al Kein Asasi Yadi Alehem Nu Hashem Alakim Vinasu Avonam. They're going to have to bear their iniquity. Uksiv Asrei. And then the pasuk says Velo Yikshu Alai LaKainli. And they cannot serve me. Now, it's clear from the pasuk in Yecheskel that once you're Oved Avodah Zarah, you're done. You're disqualified. You may not serve in the temple. Now,
but shechting could be done by...
That's exactly the Gemara's point. Yavit sheros in shechit ala sheros. So the Gemara says, if you do sheros, meaning you actually serve the idolatry, serve in meaning, in the formal avoda sense, which would require only a kohen. If you do that for Avodah Zarah, then you check out. Then you're off the reservation. You have no opportunity to come back, and you cannot do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. If all you did was Shecht for Avodah Zarah, okay, interestingly enough, even though that's serving Avodah Zarah, but nevertheless, that's not going to disqualify you, because the Gemara says that's not Shelus. Okay, Itmar. Now, we're going to go through four different permutations of basically the same idea. What if you serve idolatry, and what if you do it b'shoge? What if you do it unintentionally? And basically, in four different ways, Rav Sheish is going to say, you're no good. You're no good, you checked out, you cannot, even b'shoge, even inadvertently, you checked out, you can't come back, and you can't serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Itmar. Shagag b'zrika. What if you do zrika? Inadvertently usually means, right, that you didn't know it was wrong, right? You thought it was okay. You didn't know the halacha, right? It's not a mazid, it's not a wanton act of rebellion against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. You just simply were shogeg. You were an inadvertent. So Rav Nachman Amar Kavanah Reich Nechoch. So Rav Nachman says that if he does tshuva and he comes back, and for him tshuva is not a big deal because he wouldn't have done it had he known it was wrong, but Rav Nachman says you can bring it back. And Rav Sheshes Amar Ein Kavanah Reich Nechoch. And Rav Sheshes says no, he cannot serve in the temple. This Kohen cannot serve in the temple. So Amar Rav Sheshes Menamin Aladich Zevayu Leveitzis Olam Mechshol Ava My Love O Mechshol. Oh, avon. Again, we go back to the pasuk in Yecheskel. Michshol or avon. Avon means deliberate violation. Michshol means you stumbled, right? Right. You didn't mean to trip. You didn't mean to fall, but you stumbled. And still, the pasuk goes on to describe, right? You cannot serve me. The pasuk in Yecheskel, which we quoted just a couple lines ago, shogeg va'avon mezid. Michshol shogeg va'avon mezid. Rav Nachman Michshol de'avon. Rav Nachman's going to say no. Michshol over here means Michshol de'avon. It's not two separate things. It's one thing. Only if he intentionally violates, then he cannot be invited back. I'm Rav Nachman. Now we're going to go to Rav Nachman. D'tanya v'chiper akon al nefesh shogeges bechatas b'shkaga. V'lamit shekon mischaper al yedei atzmo. So a Kohen can actually be miskaper for himself. Now, if what did he do for Avodah Zarah? Did he shech for Avodah Zarah? We have learned previously that doesn't disqualify him. So it must be that he did zrika bishogeg, and he can come back. So Rav Sheshes Amal Chalolam Bishchita v'meizid lo nasa m'sharas avodas kochavim. And Rav Sheshes is going to say, no, we're talking about shchita, and the point is that through shchita, he's not, quote-unquote, attaching himself to Avodah Zarah. The way that he attaches himself to Avodah Zarah is only through one of the service acts. Shchita is not a service act, and so therefore, with shchita, he does not attach himself. V'azdu l'tamayu de'itmar. And the Gemara takes us through another Rav Nachman, Rav Sheshes Machlokas. Hizid b'shchita. Let's say, b'mezid, he shechs for Avodah Zarah. Rav Nachman Amar Kabbana Reich Nicholach, Rav Sheshes Amar In Kabbana Reich Nicholach. And again, machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. Rav Nachman says you can bring him back, he can serve in the Beis HaMikdash, and Rav Sheshes says no, he cannot. Rav Nachman Amar Kabbana Reich Nicholach, the law of Echerus, and Rav Sheshes Amar In Kabbana Reich Nicholach, Nase Misharis La'avodes Kochavim. By shechting to Avodah Zarah intentionally, he now attaches himself to Avodah Zarah. Okay, and what about, right, and Rashi points out, what about the first drasha that we saw in the Gemara, right? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Kohen Sheshech La'avodes Kochavim, Kavan Arech Nichoch. He'll tell you that wasn't done intentionally, that was done b'shogeg. Amar Rav Nachman Menamin Ala D'Tanya. So Rav Nachman says, look, I think I'm right, and I have a braisa to prove it. Kohen Sheshech La'avodes Kochavim, V'shav Kavan Arech Nichoch. So look, the braisa says very clearly, if you have a Kohen who serves idolatry, and he comes back, Kavan Arech Nichoch, the carbon would work. So b'ma'ilim b'shogeg my b'shav shava omidhu. Now we're not talking about, can't be talking about b'shogeg, because what kind of baal tshuva are we talking about if a person's a shogeg, right? In other words, he didn't intend to do the wrong thing. He just didn't know. Elapshita b'meizid v'ibizrika kishav my have. Now we can't be talking about zrika, because we know if you're zorik for avodah zarah, you are now have attached yourself to avodah zarah. You're off the reservation. That's it. You cannot come back. So ha'avad le'sheru, so la b'shechita, so it must be talking about shechita. Or even though you shech for avodah zarah, and even though you've done so intentionally, it's simply, you have an option to come back. That is Rav Nachman. Rav Sheshet amal chalol b'shogeg, and Rav Sheshet will say no. We're talking about a case of shogeg v'hachi kamar. Im shav mi'ikaru d'chi avad b'shogeg, avad karbano reich nichoach v'im lav, ain't karbano reich nichoach. And Rav Sheshet will tell you, what does it mean, v'shav, that he's going to be a baal tshuva? He's shogeg. Shav simply means mi'ikaru, meaning he wouldn't have done it in the first place. He simply wouldn't have done it had you told him, you know, you're not allowed to do that. Oh, okay, fine, I didn't know that. That's what v'shav means. Shav means mi'ikaru. Good. All right. Let's quickly sum up. So far, basic machlokas between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet is always going to be the four different examples. Rav Sheshet is always going to be the machmir, where if you do zrika for avodah zarah, even bishogeg, Rav Sheshet says that's it. You're a kohen. You're disqualified from doing the kahuna. It's as if you have a physical blemish upon yourself. If you shech for avodah zarah, according to Rav Sheshet, b'mezid intentionally, even though that's not temple service. Anyone can do shechita. Even though that's not temple service, Rav Sheshet will tell you, you again are checked out, you have a physical blemish, you cannot do the avoda. Okay, next. Two more of these. Hishtach aval avodas kochavim. What if you bow down to avodah zarah? So Rav Nachman amar kabana reich nicholach, Rav Sheshet amar in kabana reich nicholach. Hoda la avodas kochavim, one more. What if you just simply acknowledge avodah zarah? So Rav Nachman amar kabana reich nicholach, Rav Sheshet amar in kabana reich nicholach. Utsricha. Now the Gemara points out, basically Rav Sheshet is making the same point four times over. So the Gemara says, look, it's necessary.
What's it mean, Hoda?
Hoda means an admission. The Hoda.
Does that mean, like he says,
he publicly acknowledges, I'm into idolatry.
He speaks it.
Right.
He's into idolatry. Not that it has effect and it works.
He's into it. He believes in it.
That it's a good thing.
Yeah. He's for him today it works. Okay. The Iyash Minan Hach Kamaisa Bahi Kamara Sheshes Misham Davale Sheres. Look, in the first case where we talked about Zrika, look, Zrika is a service. It's a temple service. It's Sheres. So Avashkita, though Avale Sheres, Emma Modele, but if all you did was just Shkita, which is not a small thing, it's a big deal. But still, it's not service. It's not temple service, so therefore that's a bigger Chiddush. And then Rav Nachman, I'm sorry, Modele Rav Nachman, Viyash Minan Shkita Misham Davale Avoda. Aval Hishtachava. But bowing, look, bowing is not an act of a service act. Delo avalei avoda. Look, you didn't do an avoda, right? Shechting is part of the avoda, meaning it's not formally, legally a temple service, but still, shechting is part of the whole performance. That's an avoda. But all you did was bowing. Okay, it's not good. We're not saying it's good, but to disqualify you from doing the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash, lo tzricha v'iyash min ishtachava mishum david le'maisa. At least bowing is an act, but if all you did was just make a public admission of a hoda dibur ba'alma emalot tzricha, but if all you did was just simply publicly declare, which again is not right, obviously, but it doesn't involve an act, I might have thought that doesn't disqualify you from doing the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash. So I might have thought Rav Sheshet would give the guy a pass, kamash malan, that he still is he's still disqualified. Now, in all these scenarios, Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshet, so the halacha goes like Rav Sheshet. The Rambam paskens like Rav Sheshet. I beat you to the punch, Dr. Zaghi. The Rambam paskens like Rav Sheshet in all these cases. And so I'll give you a big, big discussion, which, you know, we can't afford to spend a lot of time on, but a huge discussion. So it comes out now that if you have a person who actually does temple service for idolatry, or bows to idolatry, or just admits to idolatry, so that's it. He cannot work. He's now, this Kohen is forever disqualified from serving in the temple. Even Bishogeg. Even Bishogeg. No, the Mishnah says, well, for Beis Chonyo, at least he's allowed to eat. Okay, so here now, we don't have Beis Hamikdash anymore, but we still have Kohen, and we still have Kohen privileges, right? Notably, getting the first Aliyah. Right, in Shul, and notably giving the Duchanan, giving Birchas Kohanim. So a big, big discussion amongst the Rishonim is, let's say you have a Kohen who does any one of the things that we just mentioned, right, including just a simple admission that, yeah, I'm into this idolatry. So, is he forever disqualified from Duchanan, or from getting the first Aliyah? Yeah. Correct. So if you look at Tosos on Kuf Tes, this is one of the last Tosos in the Masechta. And boy, is this an important one. Lo Yishamshu B'Mikdash B'Shalayim B'Sefer HaZahir. Not the Zohar. The Tosfos is not quoting the Zohar. I don't know. It's interesting. I want to know more about the Sefer Zahir. I got to research a little bit more. Who is the author of it? Tosfos is quoting him, but obviously it's an older work. It's, you know. I'm on Kuf Tes Amud Aleph.
Oh.
Right. The long Tosfos on the page, which isn't that long. B'Sefer Hazer Kasev Koin Shehemer Dato Lo Yisas Kapav Lo Yikra Rishon. So Tosfos quotes this work called Sefer HaZahir and says that if you have a Kohen who leaves the reservation and joins idolatry, and, you know, is he talking about Christianity? I do not know. Remember, that in of itself is an old debate, whether or not it's considered idolatry or not. The Ashkenazim tend to be Mekel.
It had to be. But Tosfos is a Mekel.
Right, Tosfos tends to be Mekel.
Oh.
Okay,
if he does
so anyway, B'Sefer, yeah, even if he does tshuva, yes, in other words, so he does tshuva, I mean, follow, he does tshuva, right, for all intents and purposes, he's part of he comes back to the reservation, but much like the Kohen who does tshuva can't work in the temple anymore,
like,
right, he's a physical blemish. So desulo yisas kapavlo yikra vishon dechsevi kiddush tovi. He achlei l'kedusha say. He was mechalol his kedusha. He profaned his kedusha. So the avdulei rabbanim malam imnei darchei shalom v'hai kevin di idche. Once you're pushed off. Kedinana kohanim shashim shabeis konyo lo yisham shabemikdash shibur shalayim. And what does the Sefer HaZahir quote? Our Mishnah in Menachos that says, once you serve in Beis Chonyo, that's it, you're done. You're out of the picture. Then Tosfos quotes Rashi. V'Rashi perish de kasher. Rashi is a lenient on this matter. Rashi says, no. If you have a Kohen who serves, who joins idolatry and comes back, so Rashi says, this is Tosfos quoting, you know, the father of the Ashkenazim, right? The father, their patriarch, the family patriarch. And Rashi says, no. And Rashi over here gives a very legal, non-emotional, but a very legal argument. And the legal argument is, look, what did our Mishnah teach us? He has a physical blemish. Okay. Can a Kohen who has a physical blemish, can he duchen? Sure. Meaning he can't do the avoda, but he can duchen. Sure. So lamad fina Kohen ba mum shei pasul duchen. Elim hayolam mum biyadav kedamrina. Yeah, there. Rashi points out if something is going to distract the viewer, right? Meaning that if he has something going on with his hand. So, and it's going to distract the viewer, and the viewer is going to look up at his hand, so then the Kohen can't duchen. But that's not a halacha in mum, that's a halacha in, it's just too distracting. But if it's a physical blemish, which, generally speaking, isn't seen, but would have disqualified him from doing the avoda, that's not going to disqualify him from the duchen. In fact, again, Rashi points to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says he can't serve in the temple in Yerushalayim, meaning it seems from the Mishnah that he's only disqualified from doing avoda. But doing other Kohen activities, like duchenin, like getting the first aliyah, so that would be fine. So, Tosfos brings down over here, at least according to Rashi, and we are Mekel, right, in general, according to Rashi, that if you have a Kohen who is over to Avodah Zarah, and then comes back, so Rashi says he can come back to everything, including duchenin as well.
Rambam,
I don't know.
No,
I don't
know.
Right? If I'm guessing, Rambam. Yeah? He quotes a Rambam?
Yeah.
Rambam says no, right?
So he has to go to Ashkenazi.
Rambam goes to Rav Sheshet and everything.
Right, as I would imagine.
For duchening?
Even for duchening?
Yeah. Let's say for duchening. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, right. Talk.
Rambam rules that a Kohen may not participate in Kohen's blessing since that rite is halakhic parallel to performing his service at the Beit HaMikdash.
Yeah.
And the Rambam says that Christianity is...
Well, okay.
Yeah, what was that one position?
He thought Christianity was a Avodah Zarah. Right. He was in a more comfortable position to say that. He didn't live amongst the Christians. Ain't
Zarah Chlamet Davar.
That's why I'm saying Tosos for Tessus tend to be Makel. Ain't Zarah Chlamet Davar Acher. Okay. Midakam Ain't Zarah Chlamet Davar Acher. Mechal de Beschon Yalav Avodah Kochavim here. Okay, we now have the great discussion in the Gemara. What's Beis Chonya? What happened? What is this place? Is it an idolatrous house? So from the Mishnah, it sounds like it's not. Because the Mishnah says, if he serves in Beis Chonya, he's disqualified. And I don't even need to tell you if he serves in idolatry. So it sounds like Beis Chonya from the Mishnah is not idolatrous.
And also it says that you can bring up those korbanos.
Yeah, and the Mishnah before that also. Yeah. So Tanya Kamanda Amar Beis Chonya Lava Avodas Kochavim Hid Tanya. So now the Gemara here is going to present to us a brisa, and here is the brisa that describes the genesis of this temple, if you will, right, lowercase t, this temple out in Egypt called Beis Chonya. Also, Shana Shemei Shimon HaTzadik. So the Gemara quotes a brisa. The brisa describes the year that Shimon HaTzadik dies. Shimon HaTzadik, remember, Shimon HaTzadik Mishayari Knesset HaGedola. He was the last remaining survivors of the Anshe Knesset HaGedola. So Anshe Knesset HaGedola was the body of rabbis and Nevi'im, beginning of the Second Temple period. They were the ones who put Shmoneh Esrei together. They were the ones who basically instituted the Second Temple and all the practices of the Second Temple. They were the ones who put Purim as a yontif on the calendar. Okay, so you can't understate the significance of Anshei Knesset HaGedola, the last surviving member of Anshei Knesset HaGedola. Right, the Canaanites, the Torah. They
said the 42-letter name every time, right? They did the. The
Avoda? I don't remember that, but it could be. I don't remember. And the Mishnah Pirkei Avos tells us that Shimon HaTzadik was Meshayar and Anshei Knesset HaGedola. You will remember him probably most for the famous story of him and Alexander the Great. Right? Alexander the Great comes and brings a campaign into Israel, and Shimon HaTzadik wants to stop Alexander the Great from coming and conquering Israel. So what he does is he puts on the big day kahuna, the Kohen Gadol. He meets Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great sees Shimon HaTzadik wearing the big day kahuna, jumps off his horse, runs over and starts bowing down to Shimon HaTzadik. And, you know, the Greek Empire looked at him and said, what are you doing? So he explained very simply, look, every time I go out to war, I know I'm going to win because the night before I go to bed, I have a dream, and that's what I see in my dream. And he points to a vision. He saw a vision of Shimon HaTzadik. Okay, this is Shimon HaTzadik. So, right, can't understate his significance in Jewish history, and he's dying. Also, Shana Shemei Shimon HaTzadik, Hay Amar Lahem Shana Zu Hu Meis. So he says, you know, this year I'm going to die. Okay, how does he know that? Amar Lo Minayin Atayodeh, Amar Lahem Kol Yom HaKippurim Nizamin Li Zaken Echa Levush Levanim V'Nisatef Levanim. Because, you know, I do the Avodah in Yom Kippur, I'm the Kohen Gadol. Mm-hmm. And I go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and I'm accompanied by somebody wearing white. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, it's not another person, that we know for sure. Right? The Kohen Gadol cannot be accompanied by anybody as he goes to Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur. So it's not another person. So is it a Malach? Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. Zagi, you're going to go for this. You're really going to go for this. So Tosos brings down, it can't be a Malach as well. Mm-hmm. Because right when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he has to go there in total solitude, right? Not a physical, not a metaphysical being can accompany him. So Tosafot says if that's true, so then who are we describing coming in with him? This person wearing white. So Tosafot writes it's a Shechina. Okay, now what exactly that means? You know, I'm not. I mean, I sort of understand, but okay. Some manifestation of the Shechina. So this entity that comes in with me, wearing white and leaving in white, so fine, that happens every year. However, this year, Shimon HaTzadik says, he went in with me, but he did not come out with me, and this year he wore black and not white. Okay. And so thereafter Yontif, meaning after, I would imagine, Sukkos, so he lasted another 7 days and then he died. Okay.
7 days?
That's what the Gemara tells us. V'nimnu echav ha-kohanim elavarech b'shem b'shas p'tira sa'u. Now, Kohanim would stop blessing b'shem Hashem after his death. Amar lehem...
During the Bayis
Sheni. It's the beginning of the second temple.
The beginning of the second temple.
Yeah. Amar lehem chonyo. B'ni yishamish tachti. Now, on his deathbed, so he has two sons, Chonyo and Shimi. And Shimi was older, okay, by 2.5 years. So he says, Chonyo is going to serve me in my place. Niskana bo Shimi. Now Shimi, the older son, gets jealous, and we know the story, and the story happens all the time, where the younger son gets preferential treatment and gets the family business, and the older son obviously is going to be very upset. So Shahayagadu Mimenushteshanim Omechsa, Amalo Babalam Dacha Sedra Avoda. So now in a drama which you're not going to believe, so Shimi says to Chonyo, come, let me show you how to do the Avodah on Yom Kippur, because I know you don't know how to do it, and let me show you how to do it. Now, it is interesting, by the way, because the level of ignorance, and Tosfos makes this point, I'm not the first one to make this point, the level of ignorance over here that Chonyo has in terms of not knowing what to do on Yom Kippur, and not knowing how to do the Avodah, and Shimi is going to tell him a story which is going to be nuts, and Chonyo is just going to be like, oh, okay, fine, I didn't know that. Okay, good, let's go. And it's even, right, Tosfos raises this issue. It's even hard to imagine how Shimon HaTzadik can say, Chonyo, right, you're going to get it. And Chonyo doesn't seem to know a whole lot. Right.
Which one was older?
The older one was Shimi. Shimi was older. Chonyo was the younger one.
And who's getting it?
Chonyo's getting it, but
in the first year.
So what you got to do is you got to wear a some sort of blouse.
Women's
right? What's it called? A tzotzel is a belt. And Unkali is some sort of, right, leather blouse. Okay? Hamido Eitzel Mizbeach. And stand next to the Mizbeach. So, Amar Lehem La'echav HaKohanim. Okay? So, this is how he dresses him up on Yom Kippur in order to do the Avodah. So, now, Chonyo is up there, right by the Mizbeach. And Shimi now is nudging all of his other Kohanim and saying, look at this. Look at this nonsense that's going on over here. And he did it for his wife, right? In other words, he told his wife that the first day I'm going to be serving in the Beis Hamikdash, you know, I'm going to wear this clothing. Okay. So obviously, Shimi set up Chonyo, right? We all understand, right? Chonyo only did it because he was told to by his brother Shimi to do it, and then as Chonyo's up there by himself, so Shimi now nudges his brothers and says, look, unbelievable, right? Ridiculous. And he did that because he promised his wife he was going to do that. And that's why he's wearing this clothing, making a mockery of the Avodah. Also, Yom Shishamish Kahuna Gadola, this is what he said to his wife, Elbosh Munkalish Shlichi Ve'echor B'tzosol Shlichi. I'll wear your clothing. Okay? On the first day that I'm going to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Bikshu Echav Kohanim Lahargo. Okay, so the Kohanim now thinking that Chonyo was really like a bad guy, so they all start chasing him. And they chase him all the way to Alexandria, to Egypt. And he ran to Alexandria and he opened up shop over there and he made a temple, and the temple was for idolatry, meaning they not only chased him physically away, but religiously as well. Like he said, basically, like that's I don't want any part of this. Okay, uchishishamo chachamim bedavar amru mazesh lo yared la kacha yored la al achas kama v'kama. Divrei Reb Meir. This is all Rebbe Meir's version of the story, and they basically left him alone in Alexandria with his idolatrous temple. Okay, that is version number one of the story. Now, a story is a story, right? Can we debate about what the story actually was? And yeah, we're going to have a machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, and it's important though because the conclusion of each one of them is going to yield a totally different conclusion in terms of what the nature of Beis Chonyo was. Meaning his little temple out in Egypt, was it was it L'Shem Shamayim or no? So according to the first version of the story, Rav Meir, it wasn't. It wasn't.
Rechayah was the younger son.
He was the younger one.
Why did Shimon HaTzadik want the younger son?
Because he felt like he was more fit.
He's closer to Hashem.
He felt like he was more fit.
Son, more fear.
The older son seemed to have known a lot more.
Well, no, the older son knew how to play a trick on him. Maybe he didn't know anything either.
Okay.
He just
could
didn't know wear women's clothing.
Could be.
Keep going.
Amalo Rabbi Yehuda lo kachay amaisa lo ela. So now we're going to have version number two of the story, which is lo kibal av chonya shaya shemi achav gadol mimenu shtei shanim. Story starts about the same. Shimon HaTzadik on his deathbed says to Chonyo, look, I know you're the younger, and I know you're younger by 2.5 years, but I want you to take on the Kohen Gadol, meaning you're going to take my place. And according to version two, Rabbi Yehuda's version, Chonyo says, thank you, but no thank you. It's not right. I'm the younger. I'm not the older. Give it to Shimi. Now, it's great. This second version of the story is such a lesson in human nature. Meaning, Chonyo deferred to his older brother, but then was jealous after he deferred.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay, we're complicated people, right? It's, you know, we're not that simple. So, although he did an act which was altruistic and really noteworthy, but then, you know, he got jealous. Meaning, he's watching his brother now being the Kohen Gadol, getting all the acclaim and saying, wait a second, that could have been me. Not only couldn't that have been me, that should have been me. Right? Dad put me in that spot and, you know, for reasons which I thought were right, I deferred, but now I regret my decision. So be avoda. So now he says to his brother, let me teach you seder avoda. So here now, Chonyo is dressing Shimi up in quote unquote women's clothing. Now, and then as Shimi is going up wearing this funny clothing, so now Chonyo nudges the Kohanim and says, look, this is what he promised his wife. Okay. Story is similar, but now we're just reversing who went up there in quote unquote women's clothing. Shimi went up there. And Chonyo is nudging people. So, Bikshu Achav Konam Lahar Gosachlam Kolam Aura. Okay. So now, they start running after Shimi to kill him. Meaning, you're making a mockery of the Avoda. Okay. So they're running after him to kill him. But here in version number two, Shimi just simply turns around and says, wait. Before you kill me, let me just tell you why I did it. Okay. So in version number two, he actually gets to explain. But it's not Chonyo, it's Shimi. Shimi says, I'll explain to you. You see my brother over there? He set me up. Okay, so now the masses, the crowd, just simply turns their attention on Chonyo. Bikshu laharog es Chonyo. So now Chonyo, you set him up. You put him to this. So Ratz mibneim v'ratzu acharav. Ratz the beis hamelech. Now he runs to the king's house. Ratzu acharav kol haroa so omer zehu zehu. And everywhere he runs, they keep pointing to him and saying, "That's the guy. That's the guy." No, he doesn't get a break. Halach lachzan shomitzvayim uvana shamizbech vela alav l'shem shamayim. And conclusion, according to Rav Yehuda, he runs to Egypt and he opens up a temple over there, and it's l'shem shamayim. Okay. Shenamar. Now, all this is supported by a pasuk in Yeshayahu. The pasuk says, "Bayam uyem mizbech l'Hashem b'soch eretz Mitzrayim." You have a pasuk in Yeshayahu which states straight out that there is a temple in Egypt. And again, then the conclusion was, leave him alone, let's not bother him, leave him with his little temple. Okay. Tanya Amrav Yeshua ben Prachi b'tchila kol Amr Alei La Ani Kofto. One of the lessons that we learn from here, and this is quoted in the name of Rav Yeshua ben Parachia, and Rav Yeshua ben Parachia, the name should sound familiar, he's in Pirkei Avos. This is not from Pirkei Avos, but this is similar. This is Avos the Rebbe Nasan, right? Similar idea. Right, Mishnayos, old Mishnayos that deal with ethics and life lessons. If you told me that I should, you know, that I should take a position of leadership, so my response would be, you got to be kidding me. Like I don't want that. But then once I'm there, once I'm in that position of leadership, and then you say, why don't you step down now? So the nature of the person is, no way. Right? It's good to be the king. Okay? And the Gemara says, I'll give you some simple examples of where we find this. Sha'rei Sha'ul Baruch Mimenu Kisha'a, right? In other words, when Sha'ul was first asked to be the king, Sha'ul ran.
Oh, yeah.
Sha'ul wanted no part of being the king. But once he got there, Kabikesh Laharog is David. But once he got there, and then David said, okay, now it's my turn. So Sha'ul says, I think I want to kill you. Okay? So you see this, it's unbelievable, the tension of not wanting to take the position of leadership, but once you're there, really liking it. Okay, good. Beis Chonyo, two versions of the story of how it was created. It was, in other words, the basic outline of the story is all agreed upon. Two sons of Shimon HaTzadik, Chonyo and Shimi. Shimi was older, Chonyo was younger. What exactly happened that led Chonyo to run down to Egypt? That part is debated. Chonyo goes down to Egypt, opens up a temple, calls it Beis Chonyo. Is it for Avodah Zarah? Is it L'Shem Shemaim? That also is up for a debate. And Rav Meir says it's the base of Avodah Zarah. Rav Yehuda says, no, it's L'Shem Shemaim. Now, the Gemara is going to ask such a simple question. We had a pasuk in Yeshayahu. And the pasuk reads, Bayamahu Yem is Bech LaHashem. Besoch Eretz Mitzrayim. The pasuk in Yeshayahu describes that there was this temple. It was L'Shem Shemaim. It was in Egypt. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, we all know pshat in that pasuk in Yeshayahu. That's describing Beis Chonyo. But according to Rabbi Meir, what's being described over there? And don't tell me Beis Chonyo, because Beis Chonyo, according to Rabbi Meir, was a base of Avodah Zarah. And the pasuk in Yeshayahu is describing some frum temple in Egypt. So this is the Gemara's question. Hi, Krad de Rabbi Yehuda, my Avid Le Licha de Tanya. Okay, so the Gemara says it was described another temple, another historical event. La'achem ma'palasa shal sancherv yatzach chizki umatza b'nei malachim shayush yoshim b'karno shal zahav hadiran. B'karno shal zahav. Comma. Okay, we go back to the first temple, and in the first temple, we know that Sancherv laid a siege. And not only laid a siege, but decimated the northern kingdom, right? The Israel divided into two factions, the north and the south. A little bit of civil war, not a whole lot. And the north had its own ruler, and the south had its own ruler. Sancherev, the king of Asher, comes down from the north, decimates the northern kingdom, hence the ten lost tribes, and comes down now into the south and wants to do the same to the southern part of Israel, otherwise known as Yerushalayim, which was represented by two tribes, Yehuda and Yamin. Okay. Chizki at the time was the king of Yehuda, and miraculously the Jews were saved. Miraculously means that as Sancherib and his army camped in front of Yehuda, so they all died overnight by a plague. Okay. Now Sancherib was so confident that he was going to go into Yerushalayim and conquer Yerushalayim, he basically created bleachers, and he told the kings of the world, here come. Sit at the bleachers and watch, because you see what I did to the northern kingdom? I'm going to do the southern kingdoms as well. So he sat them all by the bleachers, and he said, watch what's about to happen. Well, what happened, not according to his plan, is that him and his whole army died. Okay. So, Chizkiah now comes out, and sees the entire camp of Sancherev dead, and he sees all the kings out in the bleachers watching. He diran.
Is this where you have the two Masoros that found out?
No. That was the four Masoros, right? Where they were starving. Okay, I'm not sure. Wait. Just wait. He diran shalala avod avodos kochavim shenemar. So Chizkiah says now to all the onlookers. Right, everyone see what just happened? Right, that's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So I'm going to make you make a neder, no more Avodah Zarah. I do not want you people to serve Avodah Zarah anymore. I'm sorry, Midabros, Sfas Kanan. Five of those kings were from Egypt. Five of them pledged not to be Ovid Avodah Zarah. They go back to Egypt and they speak Hebrew. A Hebrew-speaking group went down to Egypt. V'nishbaos la'ashem tzvakos. Halchu la'achzanjer shal Mitzrayim uvanu mizbech v'halu alav l'shem shamayim. This is the temple that operated l'shem shamayim in Egypt. Not the Beit Chonyo temple, because that wasn't l'shem shamayim. It was this group of kings who went back down to Egypt to open up shop over there. Shenamar b'yamahuyem mizbech l'ashem b'soch eretz Mitzrayim. Period. And that's the pasuk in Yeshayahu. Okay, good.
5 minutes.
Perfect. Okay. We are now going to do a little bit more of Agadata before we conclude with today. Okay? We hit the main points of the day. The temple Beit Chonyo, the genesis of that temple, two versions of what exactly happened, Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Meir, a description of what actually was Beit Chonyo. I'm sorry, what was that temple that actually was used to serve God in Egypt? The pasuk in Yeshayahu, look, we're here in Yeshayahu anyway, so the Gemara is going to darshan a little bit of these psukim. Ir haheres yomer la'achas. My ir haheres yomer la'achas, kedematargin Rav Yosef, karta de Beit Shemesh. The city of Beit Shemesh. Okay? Now, very popular and very populated. Beit Shemesh, Ramat Beit Shemesh. Karta de Beit Shemesh, to asa lemechrev, it amr dehi chada minhon, chada minhon. So Rav Yosef, who is a matargim, who is the translator, so that pasuk in Yeshayahu, ir haheres is a reference to Beit Shemesh. Only my dear Harris listened to Shem Shahu. What gave him that kind of connection? That Ir HaHaris is Beit Shemesh. Dechsiv HaOmer LeCheres VeLo Yizrach. Okay, Cheres is a synonym with the sun. Okay, back to Pesukim in Yishayahu. Heviu Bnei Marchok V'Nosai Mikzei HaAretz. Okay, Bnei Marchok, people from a distant land. Mikzei HaAretz, people from all the way in the corners of the land. Now, it's interesting, the pasuk in Yeshayahu describes the people that are far away are B'nai, the people that are all the way at the end are B'nos. Heviu B'nai Marchok Amar Avuna Elu Galio Shel Bavel. Jews from Bavel, meaning in the diaspora, but not so far away. Bavel. Bavel's not that so far away. They are the boys. Shedatan Miyushevas Alem Kebanim. A little more settled in thinking, like boys are. Uvenosai Mikzei HaAretz. And then we describe the Jews that are all the way out in Yenemsvelt, right? Out really in the sticks. Elu galio sheshal aretzo. She'ein da'atam yushevas alem kebanos. I'm sorry. She'ein da'atam yushevas alem kebanos. Right? Their thinking is really, really mixed up like a girl. Okay? Right? The Gemara assumes that the boy is somewhat more settled, somewhat more miyushav than a girl's thinking, and so the people out there, really out there, far in the sticks, they're like a girl. Amar Abi Abba Bar Yitzchak, Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav Yehuda Bar, Amar Rav Mitzor v'Ad Kartigna, Makir Nisishol v'Savinu Shebashamayim. The Gemara basically is going to lay out two concentric circles, meaning if you're within the border of Tur and Kartigna, now you want to tell me that Kartigna is Carthage. Okay, your guess is better than mine. So basically, but in other words, we're creating a ring around, right? The bullseye, of course, is Israel. So if you create a ring around that, and we give the parameters of that ring, so Makirnas Yisrael Veshavina Shabashamayim, they speak God, and they speak and they know Jews. Umitzur Kapi Marav Mekartigna Kapi Mizrach. But anything westbound out of Tzur. And anything eastbound out of Kartigna, ain makirnas Yisrael v'lovas avinu shabashamayim. They don't understand Jew. They don't understand God. Like they don't speak any of that. Okay, Eizve Rav Shimi Barchia l'Rav. So Rav Shimi Barchia says to Rav, "What? Really? There's no recognition of God universally? May Mizrach Shemesh v'ad Mavo'o Gadosh mi b'goyim uvechol makom." Muktar Mugash Lishmi Umincha Tahora. Pasuk and Malachi says that there is universal recognition of God. So how can you now create a border and say, Tur Kartigni, they get it, they speak God, they know Jew. outside of that, right, you go to Omaha. That's not true. In Omaha, they know Jews. Okay. But you know what I mean. Okay, you go out there. Right, you're right. You go out there and right, they don't eat, right, they don't, they heard of this thing called the Jew, but they don't know. So Amar Leh, Shimi Atakarale Alaha Delaha. So I'm sorry. Let's do that again. Shimi At, meaning Rav says, really? You think that's a good question? Right? That's, you know, your shimmy? Let's go over this again. The karale alaka delaka bechomakom, mukhtar mugash toshmi bechomakom. So, look, as far as understanding God, so yeah, there is universal recognition of God. But it depends where you are. Meaning, if you're out, really out in the sticks, so they say, oh, God of Israel? God of gods. Meaning, you know, there are other gods, but God of Israel, he's number one. So in other words, there's universal recognition, but not in a monotheistic way. Meaning, you know, he's the top, but top of other gods. Elaka delaka. But with it, when you're within a certain proximity, so they understand there is a recognition, a better understanding. No, it's not that he's the God of gods, he's the God. Period. Mukhtar mugash l'shmi b'chol makom. What does that mean? That they burn to me, they offer offerings to me. B'chol makom sakadacha? Meaning, we know that you only do avoda in Yerushalayim. So what does that mean? So Amar b'shmol bar nachmeni, Amar av yonasan, Eilu tamidei chachamim ha'oskim b'torah b'chol makom, ma'alei ani aleihem ki'ilu maktiran u'magishan l'shmi. Anywhere you find Jews learning Torah, it's ki'ilu, it's as if they're offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mincha tahara, mincha tahara, zu'alam mitar b'tahara. What does that mean, mincha tahara? They offer a pure mincha, they learn Torah in a state of tahara. What does that mean? No se'isha v'achar kach l'mitara. First get married, then learn Torah. The Gemara in Kiddushin, right, first parak, end of the first parak, has a debate over there, but the Gemara over there says that according to one opinion, the Gemara's conclusion over there is that there is no machlokas. Okay. Anyway, one, under certain circumstances, let's put it like this. Once you get married first and then learn Torah, right? What does that do? It takes care of the Yetzer Hara. Right. So, Shir HaMalos, Yinei Baruch Hu Hashem Kol Avdei Hashem Hamdei Beis Hashem Balaylos, Ma Balaylos, Am Rav Yochanan El Tamid HaChacham HaMoska B'Torah Balayla. There is a special value to learning Torah, not just during the day, but at night as well. Male aleim kakasu kilo oskim ba'avoda. If you do so, it's like doing the avoda. La'olam zosa Yisrael, pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, amrav gido, amrav zemizbech banui, umichal sartzva omen amakrib alav karban. Rav Yochanan amar elu tamid chacham em ha'oskim be'ochas avoda. Right, people who were involved in learning about the avoda, like what we've been doing for the past 5 months, Mala aleim hakasuk ilu nivna mikdash b'yameim. It's like the base of mikdash is built in your day. Amish lakish my dechsiv zosa torah la ola ula mincha ula chatos alashem kol osik b'torah ki ilu hikriv ola mincha chatos va'ashem. Learning Torah is like offering all these different types of karbanos. Amirava hayla ola la mincha ola umincha mi ba'ele. Better the pasuk should have said ola umincha. Ela amirava kol osik b'torah inu tzarech lo ola. V'lo mincha v'lo asha. If you learn Torah, then you don't need these kaparas because the Torah provides a kapara. Amar Rav Yitzchak, my dechsiv, zos Torah sachatas v'zos Torah sasham. Kol ha'osik b'toras chatas ki ilu ikriv chatas v'kol ha'osik b'toras asha ki ilu ikriv asha. Learning about the halachas of chatas and learning about the halachas of asha is ki ilu, it's as if you actually offer these types of kaparas. Okay, we'll pause over here. We have a mission to go and a little bit of Gemara to go as well. I'm in the middle of organizing a Siyum for the conclusion of Menachos. We'll put the thing together. Tomorrow we begin with Chulin. Everyone get excited, please. Chulin is an excellent limud. Oh, please, everyone help yourselves.
What is this for?